John chapter 21 is about the continuing mission of the church. And we ended the last one with Thomasing, my Lord and my God. It's just like, wow, we could quit now, right? But we don't. Now chapter 21 is about the mission of the church. Because what's important here is the final transformation of Peter. Remember, the Gospel of John is about transformation. It's about transformation. And this text here, this last chapter, is about the transformation of Peter and Peter's acceptance of what that transformation is. Verse 1, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, that's Galilee, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two other of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we'll go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, presumably John, okay, therefore said to Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So here's breakfast in Galilee is what this section is. It's breakfast up on the shore of Galilee. Peter decides to go fishing, and these others go with him. And we see Peter kind of returning to the way of life he had before. I mean, what do you do when the Messiah's gone, and he hasn't really left you any instructions at this point? You gotta eat, right? So they go fishing. They go fishing. They return to the life they had before they met Jesus. They don't really know what else to do yet, right now, in their lives. And their fishing trip was unsuccessful, at least from a catching fish perspective. And it's dawn, and they head toward shore. Jesus, of course, is waiting there and yells out over the water, did you catch anything? And they answer, no. And then he says, cast the net on the right side. Now, everybody speaks, well, how did he know that? Was it miraculous, or could from a person from the shore see something or whatever? Well, knowing it was Jesus, it was miraculous, but why did they obey? Well, I mean, what's another shot? Maybe the guy on shore knows something. Or maybe they remembered experiencing that once before in their lives, right at the beginning of their time with Jesus. And they threw the net, and it was so full, they couldn't drag it in. Then John, presumably, says to Peter, it's the Lord. I mean, it just had to be. I mean, who else could it be there doing this same thing he had done for them before? And Peter doesn't waste any time. He puts on his outer clothes. And then it says he jumped into the sea. I love that part.
Why would you put your robe on to jump into the sea?
Well, I was thinking about that. And you know what? I think maybe, and I'm guessing here, that he was going to try walking on water again. I mean, that's what I think. Now, there's no hint of that. Because you can imagine Peter afterward. Well, Peter, why did you jump in? He's not going to say, well, I was trying to walk in water. I mean, who would admit to that after making a big splash? Now, I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm not trying to be funny. Because before, he tried to walk in the water. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And I think that possibly, maybe he was trying to walk on water. He failed at it, if that was the case. I don't know. I mean, just pure speculation on my part. The point is, he headed straight for Jesus. He wasn't going to waste any time. He just headed off straight for Jesus. The other disciples followed him in the boat, dragging the net that last 100 yards. Jesus already has breakfast ready. He had a fire, he had fish, he had bread, and then he told them to bring some more fish over. You know, he probably had a little bit cooking there, but there was quite a group of them. And again, Peter reacts quickly. You know, Jesus says, "Oh, we need more fish." And who goes? Peter goes rushing off to go get some fish. It's almost like he's somebody who's trying really hard to please somebody. I think that's what we're supposed to see in Peter. He's trying really hard to do what's right, how to please Jesus. Jesus says, "Come on, eat." And then John tells us, nobody said, "Who are you?" Like, well, is it Jesus or is it not? Come on. I mean, they knew it was the Lord, but again, there's something different about his appearance in these resurrection experiences. Enough of a difference that John mentions it for us. You know, notice he's not trying to cover something up and say, "Oh yeah, it was Jesus." But he's acknowledging that there was something different about him. Jesus gave them bread and fish, and they're too startled to eat. It's like, well, yeah, he has to keep compelling. Well, eat something, you know. They're just in awe. They forget that they should even be hungry. And he compels them to eat. Jesus takes the initiative and starts handing out food to them. "Okay, guys, eat this food." So that's the setting for what's happening here. Jesus meets them on the shore of Galilee, but that's not the heart of this chapter. But before we move into it, I want to review a previous passage. John 13, 31 to 38. Now, you'll remember I talked about this a couple months ago. John 13, 31 to 38. "When he had gone out, Jesus says, 'Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You'll seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I say also to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, where are you going?' And Jesus answered him, 'Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward.' Peter said to him, 'Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you.' Jesus answered, 'Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you've denied me three times.'" Now you remember when I covered that text. Jesus had told his disciples that he's going away, but they can't follow him now. Peter declares that he is willing to sacrifice himself for Jesus, right? "Jesus, the love you just talked about there, I got it. Sacrificial love, I've been listening. I got that. I'll do it for you." Jesus had said in John chapter 10, verse 11, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Those are the words of Jesus. And these are the words that Peter quotes back to Jesus. "I will lay down my life for you. I'm the sheep. I'll lay down my life for the shepherd." This is essentially what he's saying. There's Peter using Jesus' words. Peter told Jesus that he was so committed to him that he would sacrifice himself and die for Jesus. He was trying to let Jesus know that he had adopted Jesus' value system. But of course he hadn't. Peter hadn't done it. We know this because Peter failed in sacrificing himself when he denied that he knew Jesus. Three times that night he denied that he knew Jesus. Sacrificial love is very difficult, and it was a lot more difficult than Peter realized. Peter thought he had it, but he didn't have it. When danger came, Peter's desire for self-preservation took control of him, and he found out that night that he did not love Jesus nearly as much as he said or thought he did. But now, on the shores of Galilee, he knows how difficult sacrificial love is. He knows it because he failed at it. And he knows it for another reason. Because he saw it on the cross. Now he really knows sacrificial love for the benefit of others. That's something I've told you before. As much as people wanted to know God's value system, until Jesus dies on the cross, we don't fully know God's value system. The cross is the greatest revelation of God's value system. Peter fails, Christ succeeds. Sacrificial love for others sounds so simple, but we betray our devotion to God every time we get offended with each other and every time we get distracted from God and given to sin. It's hard, isn't it? It's really difficult. As difficult as?
Walking
on water, Peter. Yeah, it's as difficult as walking on water. Sacrificial love is as difficult as walking on water. Jesus knew that night, though, that Peter would fail him and Peter would deny him, but Jesus never rejected Peter or abandoned him. But he wasn't going to leave Peter where he was at. And so we come to verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, can you imagine, he's sitting there in the group of the apostles. Jesus sitting there, Peter sitting there, and all the other guys hanging around. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these other guys do? Ouch! He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. It's an interesting question there. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And it's a serious question. If you look at the language of it, it's a very formally asked question. Using the whole name, it's like, do you love me? You can imagine what's going through Peter's heart and mind. Can you imagine sitting there and have Jesus ask you that? I mean, you're going to be a little embarrassed. You're going to remember the denial. You're going to remember everything. And not only are you going to remember it, it's not like it's just between like the two of you. You got a whole crowd around there. Everybody knows I failed, Peter's thinking. Jesus is asking Peter if Peter now thinks that his love for Jesus is any greater than the other disciples' love. Because that's what he was saying that night when he said, I'll die for you. He's saying, Jesus, I love you more than these other guys. I will die for you. And Jesus is saying, no, you don't. And so here you have, Jesus asking, do you still think you love me more than everybody else? Do you really think you have it all put together? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Peter insists that he loves, but he's not going to compare it to the other guys. You know I love you. I'm not going to say that I love you more than these other guys, because I'm not going to answer for them. What's most significant here, though, is Peter is now willing to accept a crucified Lord. He wasn't able to do that before. When Jesus said, I'm going away, right? And you can't follow me now, he wasn't willing to accept the crucified Lord. I will die to make sure you don't go to the cross. That's essentially what was happening in that conversation. But Peter, now that Jesus has died and been raised from the dead, he's willing to accept a crucified Messiah. You know that I love you. Peter leaves it to Christ's knowledge. And Jesus says to him, feed my lambs. And that is our first clue as to what is in Jesus' mind. If Peter is to become a lamb feeder, he must take on the work of a shepherd. He must become like the good shepherd. The thing he was boasting about that night, using Jesus' words, his previous boasting of laying down his life was now beginning to be called into question by Jesus. You've said that you do it. Now, will you do it? And again, Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep. Third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Every time, Peter, Jesus is saying, if you really want to be like me and show your love to me and adopt my value system, then you must be willing to lay down your life not for me, but for my sheep. That is the big difference. Peter was sad that Jesus asked him these things three times, but it was Peter's three denials after a promise of sacrificial love that necessitated it. Peter needed this threefold reminder to carry before him in the future so that when he was tempted, again, he would remember. He would not fail as he had done before. This passage is not merely about restoring Peter. It's about Peter becoming a sacrificial lover like Christ. It's about him becoming a shepherd like the Good Shepherd. It's about him being transformed into Christ's likeness. He did not follow Christ as he had promised in John 13, but now he would follow Christ. See, it's one thing to say you'll lay down your life for Jesus. It's a different thing to say you'll lay down his life, your life for his sheep. You will not follow me now, but you will follow me later. Let's look at verse 18. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." What was this tending the sheep going to look like for Peter? Peter was going to die a death of sacrificial love. He would lose his freedom and he would expend himself for Christ's sheep. He would become like Christ in his death and glorify God. And this is the way in which Jesus commanded him, "Follow me." "You'll not follow me now, but you will follow me later," he told Peter. Well, this is the fulfillment of that. The call to follow Christ is always one to sacrificial love. Isn't that great? John has to deal with a few rumors before he closes his book. Verse 20, Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following him, the one who had been reclining at table close to him and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it's my will that he will remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." And again, you can see the difference in there. So the saying spread among the brothers that this disciple was not to die, yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but "If it's my will that he should remain until I come, what is that to you?" So Peter asked Jesus, "What about this man, John?" I mean, Peter's feeling a lot better right now, okay? Because Jesus has done this three things. He's made it through that. Jesus doesn't ask a fourth time, which is really nice. He's feeling good. He knows he's going to make it to the end. Jesus has told him, "You will be a sacrificial lover." He's feeling really good right now. "Well, what about this guy?" Jesus says, "If it's my will that he dies for me or not, is not the point. Is not has nothing to do with you. You follow me. You will die for me. But as for him, maybe he'll die for me, but maybe he won't. It doesn't concern you." I say that to my kids all the time. It doesn't concern you. Not everyone will die for Jesus or for Jesus' sheep, but all must be willing to live sacrificially. John wants people to be very sure that these words of Jesus were never intended to mean that Christ would return before John died. And that was the rumor that was going around in the church. And he didn't want the church to be devastated by his death. If John died and Jesus hadn't come back, they'd all freak out. Oh! And John said, that's not even true. That has nothing to do with what was even said. So he adds that in there when he writes the book. Verse 24, "This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." These verses are an acknowledgement and acceptance of the, by the we, that the record is true. Everything you read there is true. Tradition tells us, we studied this last spring in the early church writings, that the apostles had John write it up and they agreed that what he had written was good. Finally, we're again reminded that Jesus did and said a lot more than was ever written down here. But these are written, why? That you may believe that... Oh, come on, people. Can I have one of the kids tell me? These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You know, you really need to learn that verse. We'll send you to Awana, and then you'll learn that. Now you see why it's not only important to see this text in light of Peter's denial. I mean, everybody looks at, oh yeah, it's the reinstatement of Peter, move on. It's not simply a reinstatement of Peter. This text focuses the denial of Peter in terms of sacrificial love. And it calls Peter to be a shepherd of the sheep in sacrificial love. The calling is to be a shepherd who's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. It's about Peter's transformation. But Peter is not the only one called to this, and neither am I. We're all called to this. You're all called to lay down your life for the sheep, to care for the church, to see that it grows and develops. You're all called to sacrificial love. Why do I know this? Because that's the gospel, right? You know, the only way you can show your love for Christ in this world is by loving his sheep. That's the only way. There's no other means. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for how you loved Peter, and at the end you wanted him to be pointed forward, knowing what his mission would be, that really that's the turning point of this last chapter. Peter receives his mission to go out, to care for the church, to take up the work of teaching them sacrificial love, living it before them. Pray that we will learn that lesson as well, that we will learn to shepherd one another, care for one another, even as Peter learned that lesson from you. Help us to love in a way that lays down our lives for each other, for your kingdom and your glory. Amen.